Have you ever noticed how Christians really are generally happier? We're not happy because everything's working out perfectly in our lives. The reason we're happy is because our sins are forgiven.
On today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter testifying to the promise of God, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven.
Man, blessed, happy, that is a result of forgiveness. Man, don't forget God's great forgiveness, and then also don't forget that we are supposed to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us.
Forgiveness. It's one of the central tenets of the Bible and Christian faith. In the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 7, we find a great summation of what this means for us and our relationship with God as we discover how to be forgiven and to forgive others. Pastor Brett Metter continues a new study series of Micah, highlighting these saving truths in today's Word.
Turn with me to Micah chapter 7, and there is where we will read this most glorious, I find it comforting and powerful verse, Micah 7, 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Man, I love that. What a great and glorious section of scripture right here. One of the things that some of us old-timer Christians, we almost forget the glory and the wonder of God's mercy. We can sing about it. Oh yeah, God's mercy. It's great. Yeah, I'm forgiven of my sins. But we forget that burden of sin that maybe some of you once carried, and you almost forget what a glorious thing that forgiveness really is, the forgiveness of sin. God being merciful. These two verses we've just read, how glorious that is. And I just want to maybe remind us of some of the reasons forgiveness is so important. The first thing that forgiveness does is it gives us peace of mind. You might even say, you know, a clear conscience. When you were in sin as a sinner before you were saved, man, there was guilt. And that's something God has built into humanity. We know that we're sinners. Hebrews chapter 9, I love this verse, verse 13 and 14. It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, the author writing to the Jews, the Hebrews, he says, you guys gave sacrifices in the Old Testament, and you guys felt better. Like on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would, they'd make sacrifice, the high priest would go in, and then he'd come out of the Holy Holies at the end of the day, and then he'd declare to all the people of Israel, your sins are forgiven. And there'd be a huge celebration, and the people knew that their sins were atoned for through that sacrificial process. The author of Hebrews is saying, when you guys felt all happy that your sins were forgiven for that year on the Day of Atonement, how much more will the blood of Jesus Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God? He was sinless. And what does that do? It purges you of your guilty conscience of dead works. Man, this is such an encouraging word. That's what the Lord Jesus does. You and I can walk away knowing that our sins are forgiven and we don't have to walk around with that guilt and shame of our sins. We need forgiveness of sin, and Jesus did that on the cross, dying for our sins. So number one, peace. We have a pure conscience and it gives us peace of mind, number one. Number two, what does forgiveness do? It gives us a relationship with God. Jonah, and when he was in rebellion, we talked about how sin separates us from God. But when you have your sins forgiven, the word is reconciliation. You are separated from God, but when God forgives you of your sins, you are then reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. It's such a great thing. Peter had to learn this. Remember when Jesus was talking to Peter and the disciples are all sitting around the table? And Jesus goes and strips himself of his clothes, wraps a towel around himself like a servant would or a slave, and then he starts washing the disciples' feet. Peter is there, and Peter says, Lord, I should be washing your feet, not you washing my feet. And do you remember what Jesus said? Peter, unless you let me wash your feet, you can have no part with me. Now, poor Peter, always putting his foot in his mouth. He says, well, then not just my feet, my head and my hands also, Lord, just give me a whole bath right now. And Jesus said, no, it's not your head and your hands. You're clean. It's your feet that are dirty that need to be cleaned. And there's a truth there, by the way. Even if you're saved and washed and forgiven, you and I, we daily touch dirty things, don't we? There's sinful stuff all around us. And that's why we, you know, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, why do we need to confess our sins? If Christ died once for all sin on the cross, why do we need to keep confessing? The answer, it's the same thing that Jesus was talking about. When we touch this dirty world, you and I need to reconcile back to God through repentance and just say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. And the Lord says, I'm quick to, forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So Peter realized unless his feet were washed by Jesus, John chapter 13, he could have no relationship with him. So that's an important part of what forgiveness brings, is you can have a relationship with God because your sins are forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see a word in there that's kind of used over and over again? Reconciliation. That's what God is into. He wants to reconcile sinful, lost humanity to himself. And he did that through Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. When you and I get to stand before the Lord, he'll see you as holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That's an amazing miracle. One of the greatest miracles in the cosmos is how God can take our sins and wipe them out, give us a clean slate and a new start. So it gives us peace, forgiveness. It gives us a relationship with God. Number three, this is a big one. It keeps us out of hell. Can I be more blunt? Forgiveness keeps you out of hell. I hope you understand this. This is how important forgiveness is. Do you realize that that's why forgiveness might just be the most important topic we could talk about? Because if you don't have the forgiveness of God, you are going directly to hell. You do not pass go and you do not collect $200. Nobody is laughing. That was a game we played back in the old days called Monopoly. Anyway, you go to hell if you have not had your sins forgiven. Now, here's the problem. Hell is something that today preachers are afraid to talk about. Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon in the 1800s said concerning a preacher locally there in London, they came and asked him about this preacher who would never use the term hell. Instead, he would say, that place we do not want to go. That's always what he would say. He'd never say the word hell. They said, what do you think about that, Spurgeon? And he said, that preacher should never be allowed to preach ever again. If hell is real, which it is, should it be feared? You're just trying to scare us, Pastor Brett. Exactly. If hell is real, it's a place you do not want to go. And the Bible description of hell is horrifyingly bad. You know, people marveled at Jesus' gracious words. I love that. And children loved to hang out with Jesus. Like, I just know one thing about Jesus that was interesting is he never pulled any punches. When it came time to speaking truth, like listen to this, Jesus said in Luke 12, 5, Jesus said, but I will forewarn you to whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. This is gracious, kind, loving Jesus saying, the one that can put you in hell, be afraid. That's what Jesus said. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven, interestingly enough. C.S. Lewis, I remember reading somewhere that C.S. Lewis didn't believe in hell. But I actually have a quote that is interesting. You can tell he really wrestled with the idea of hell. But check out, this is a C.S. Lewis quote. There is no doctrine which I would more willingly remove from Christianity than this, hell, if it lay in my power. but it has the full support of Scripture and especially of our Lord's own words. It has always been held by Christendom and has the support of reason. I mean, even though C.S. Lewis didn't want to believe in hell, he kind of had to say, yeah, we really can't get around that one. It's amazing to me how many people act like the Bible is unclear on hell. Have you heard that? We're going, well, we don't really know, or we don't know how long it's going to be, or is it really eternal, or what, blah, blah, blah. And people are just trying to put fogginess around hell. But if you ask me, the Bible is crystal clear. Revelation, like this is kindergarten level. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, talking about sinners who go to the great white throne. It says, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is that confusing? No, that's very, very clear. Some people, we've tended to, if you don't have pastors who won't talk about hell, we've made a joke out of hell. We use it as a swear word. Ah, it's hotter than hell in here. What the hell? And we use the word in a cussing sort of, swearing sort of way. And that's only minimized people's belief. And some people think hell is a joke. I heard it said by one preacher, you may laugh yourself into hell, but you cannot laugh your way out of hell. And that's the truth. Hell is to be taken seriously in the Bible. And the only way out of hell for you and for me is forgiveness. God's beautiful, loving, kind-hearted grace and mercy that he shows to his people. So what does forgiveness do? Number one, gives you peace of mind. Number two, gives us a relationship with God. Number three, it keeps you out of hell. But also, number four on the list, it gets you into heaven. I love that one. Heaven, you know, John 14, Jesus talks about this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. The word mansion there, better translated, dwelling place. The translators of the King Jimmy said, let's use the word mansion because heaven's going to be wonderful, which it is. And the translators thought, oh, a mansion's wonderful. So let's just translate that into mansion. But I believe the word mansion is a bit clumsy because some of us don't care about mansions. I don't want a mansion. That doesn't sound very fun to me. Nothing but work, work, work. A big old mansion, ugly mansion. But what Jesus is saying, I'm going to my Father's house. There's many places for you to dwell. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. And the idea is just for you. What is the place Jesus is preparing for you? I don't know, but I think it's going to be great. He says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I mean, the fact is, it's going to be great because Jesus is going to be there. That's going to be glorious. You know, speaking of heaven, Paul said to the Corinthian church in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You and I can't even imagine. It's never entered into the heart of man what heaven's going to be like. I believe heaven's going to be great. Well, Brett, the Bible does tell us stuff like mansions and streets of gold. I remember thinking, I'm not into gold. Who cares that there's streets of gold? Well, that's the point. You know, here in our world, what's the most common substance that nobody cares about? One of them is pavement. When you go out in the parking lot tonight, some of you guys are going to spit right on our pavement. We paid for that pavement. And you're spitting on it. You're going to drive your car all over our pavement. And you're like, yeah, whatever. It's just pavement. It's just asphalt. But that's the point. It's not that when we get to heaven, we're going to fall on the ground and go, gold, wow. We're not going to do that. What we're going to realize is that, you know, the most expensive, valuable thing on this stupid old earth is going to be pavement in heaven. Like, that's the idea. The stuff we esteem as really important and great is going to be something that's just nothing, is the idea in heaven. The streets are going to be paved. It's not to impress you. Oh, pearly gates and streets paved with gold or whatever. No, heaven's going to be so much more glorious. I think some of you aren't even looking forward to heaven because you think you're going to be strumming a harp on a cloud somewhere. You're like, I'm not sure I'm into that. I'd rather be doing something else. Especially for all eternity. Bling. Bling. Like, that doesn't sound very fun. Well, that's just Warner Brothers, you guys. Do you believe Bugs Bunny or do you believe your Bible? That's the question. Even our jokes haven't helped, you know, like the guy that ends up at the pearly gates and Peter there with his book and his platform and the gate. Sir, what makes you think you get to go to heaven? He says, well, I've been nice. I've done nice things for people. Well, what's, like, give me an example of something nice, Peter says to this guy. And he says, well, there was this little old lady. She was just crossing the street, and all these bikers came up and started hassling this poor little old lady. And I stood up to them, and I said, you guys leave her alone. And they did. And Peter said, wow, that is pretty nice. When did this happen? He said, about 30 seconds ago. Some of you aren't laughing. So the bikers killed him. And that's why he's in heaven, standing before Peter. But, you know, we laugh at jokes like that, but you know that's not how it's going to work. You're not going to get to heaven, and because you helped the old lady and got killed by bikers, you're going to get to heaven. There's only one thing that's going to get you in heaven, and it's this question, are your sins forgiven? That's the only thing that's going to get you in heaven. Apart from forgiveness of sin, you will not make it into heaven. So the question becomes, are you forgiven? Be quick to come to Christ and repent of your sins and accept the forgiving work of God. It's so amazing how easy God made it for you and I to be saved because he did all the work when Jesus died on the cross. But the question is, why is humanity so stubborn to say, yeah, I don't know about all this stuff about forgiveness and about sin. Hey, listen, you know you're a sinner. You know it. Even if you claim to be an atheist, you know it. Because God has built in your heart a conscience to know. So the question is, what are you gonna do? You accept Christ, repent of your sins? Doesn't mean you're gonna be perfect or never sin again. Christ died for all your sins, past, present, even your future ones you've yet to even commit. Jesus died for all those, Hebrews says, once for all. And sometimes we try to sell it, well, if you become a Christian, you'll be happy. I can't even really promise that, but you know, have you ever noticed how Christians really are generally happier? It is true though. Why are we so happy? It's not because of all the good news we're seeing on television right now. We're not happy because everything's working out perfectly in our lives. Do you know that? The reason we're happy is because our sins are forgiven. That we have heaven to look forward to, not because we've earned it or deserved it, because God says, I'll make you saved. That's why the psalmist wrote there in Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression or sins is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Man, blessed, happy. That is a result of forgiveness. Now, this is where it'd be wise for me to leave it alone and say, the end. But there's something else I need to say that goes with forgiveness, that it's something that I can't leave undone. Because the Bible talks a lot about this too. And it has to do with when you are a forgiven sinner, we can just be joyful, have the anticipation of heaven and all that stuff. And that's really good. But there's one more point that I need to make, and that is this. You then now need to forgive others. Once you are a forgiven sinner, it makes us forgive others. I almost put on this point, it allows us. I almost said that, and then I caught myself. Wait a minute. It doesn't just allow us to forgive others. It requires us. Do you understand this? When you are a horrible sinner, God says, I will forgive you of your sins. And then all through the Bible says, now as you have been forgiven, Jesus even taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's an interesting prayer that sometimes we forget, oh yeah. So when you get in your heart, I'm not gonna forgive them, then the Lord's saying, what? I'm not gonna forgive you. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. As God has forgiven you, you're supposed to forgive others. And how has the Lord forgiven you? Unconditionally. He forgave you before you were ever even sorry. There's Jesus hanging on the cross in the worst situation you can imagine. Here's men painfully, torturously crucifying God in the flesh. Does it get worse than that? Like there's no worse sin, in my opinion, that you could ever commit on the planet Earth than taking God and giving him a torturous, painful, brutal death on the cross. Meanwhile, Jesus is hanging on that cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But you don't know what that person did to me. Doesn't matter. It wasn't as bad as crucifying Jesus on the cross. And like Jesus, you're supposed to forgive, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Well, Brad, I think Ephesians 4 leaves a little wiggle room there. It says, let. all bitterness and wrath. I don't know. Well, what about this? If you want an airtight one, here it is. Jesus saying this in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you your trespasses. Any questions? Like Jesus says this, you know, drop the mic moment. And then he kind of says, the end. That's it. So while we are delirious with joy because our sins are forgiven, I think it's important for you old-timer Christians to remember that, man, don't forget God's great forgiveness, and then also don't forget that we are supposed to forgive others as Christ has, you know, forgiven us. What an important role we have to play in this, and that is the end of the story. Amen?
Pastor Brett Metter draws to a close our first message of the book of Micah, reflecting God's mercy, forgiveness, and final triumph over sin. And Pastor Brett will be leading in a prayer responding to what we've just learned in today's word in just a moment. But first, today's word is the radio ministry of Athey Creek Church in the Portland, Oregon area, where Pastor Brett Metter is the senior pastor. We invite you to find out more about Pastor Brett and Athey Creek Church by going to todayswordradio.com. If you've missed any portion of this study, you'll find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. I also want to mention that in addition to the main Athey Creek campus in West Lynn, Oregon, we also have locations in Hillsboro and McMinnville. For more information, just go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link Locations. Again, todayswordradio.com and click the link Locations. Well, now to close in prayer, here again is Pastor Brett Metter.
Lord, we look at this passage and we're so relieved to know that you're the forgiver of sins. Forgiven, Lord. What a declaration, Lord. We don't deserve it. We've all fallen short. No one is righteous, not even one. Your word is right. But how gracious you are and merciful to forgive us our sins and give us the hope of heaven and eternal life. Lord, make us thankful. Help us to not become so aware of forgiveness that it becomes such commonplace that we don't really care about it as much. But make us joyful, Lord. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation, Lord. And for those that have yet to be forgiven, who still carry the guilty conscience, those who have yet to confess their sinful need to be forgiven, Lord, would you just continue to tap them on the shoulder, even right now, of their need to accept. As forgiveness comes through just accepting you, Lord, and the work of the cross, dying, raising up from the dead, and then declaring us forgiven. So if you accept the work of Jesus, when he, the perfect sinless person, died on the cross, and if you say, I want that for myself, that forgiveness that comes through Jesus, then Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. That's why Jesus said it is finished. What was finished? Not just his death, but the dealing with the sinful condition of humanity. Jesus did that. And the way you do that is just accept and believe and confess. Confession with the mouth, belief in the heart, you're saved. That's what the Bible says. This is what makes you a Christian, by the way, not signing up for a church. A Christian is a person who acknowledges they're sinful and they're accepting the forgiveness of Jesus from the cross. So let's do that. Dear Father in heaven, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and that he rose up from the grave and that all my sins are forgiven. Now help me to walk with you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Brett Metter here on Today's Word. And if you just prayed those words with Pastor Brett, we want to welcome you into the family of God. And to help, we put together some teachings that will help you as you begin your walk with Jesus. Just go to our website at todayswordradio.com and click on Are You a New Believer? Again, todayswordradio.com and click on New Believer. Well, we're so glad you've joined us today. Next time, Pastor Brett Metter will share another verse-by-verse study from the book of Micah. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.